Good morning. And thank you, Lisa. Lily. Thank you, Lily. I am Mark. And my wife, Ruth, is here also today. And we are grateful to be back to Baltimore, the place where my wife grew up, in near the airport in Linthicum. And the Lord called us into missions. And we were sent out to Taiwan through the support of God's people, including your church. And we've been grateful to serve the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, and your Lord Jesus Christ together, serving in different places, but serving the Lord for most of these years in the great land of Taiwan. And we're grateful to be back today in this most unusual year of 2020. And although I cannot see most of you, I know that most of you can see me. And the catechism says, can you see God? And I say, I cannot see God, but he always sees me. So maybe there are many people watching today who I can't see. And I know most of all that God is watching. And I pray that God is speaking to us today on this topic, why should we listen to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 9? Why should we listen to Moses? You know, there's so many voices, and in this year, there's so many things that have happened that make people tune in to the news, more so, I think, than I ever remember growing up. And tune in to different voices, looking for answers, looking for explanations, looking for an understanding of why. Why the COVID virus? And why the race-related riots? And after all these years, how can there still be so much oppression and so much inequality? And haven't we made enough of advances that we can feel safe in our neighborhoods in this supposed to be the greatest of the nations? We hear it regularly that from every party, you know, this is the greatest nation. Well, it makes you wonder, is this really the greatest nation? Is this even the greatest generation? We like to praise people, and I always praise the Taiwanese. And they often praise the Americans. They're the beautiful country people. Literally, you know, Meiguoren are the beautiful country people. But made in the image of God, all of us are beautiful. And we're beautiful because his image is stamped upon us. But there's so many voices and so many things that are happening and there's so many different answers and explanations. I think people really, they want to know, are we safe or are we not safe? Are we safe with a mask? And some say, no, you're not really safe. Maybe you shouldn't wear a mask. And, you know, we need 6 feet away from each other. Well, is that enough? People are still getting sick, you know, and who knows how long this will last? And who knows, when will it come back again if it dies down? Why should we listen to Moses? We should listen to Moses because Moses wrote the first part of the Bible. And the first part of the Bible includes Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. He was the one person in his generation among his people who was educated. And by the time that he died, there were many more educated. And we too can be educated if we read what Moses wrote. Everybody should be aware of what Moses wrote. It is indeed God's word. But God's word is for everybody, not just the Jewish people and not just for Christians. God's word tells us where people came from and why we have problems and what happens after this life and why life is important and why we should seek to preserve it and protect it. God's word tells us, and some of the most important truths in the Bible are in the first five books of the Bible. And Moses, now at the end of his life, says in verse 1 of chapter 9, "Hear, O Israel." He says it quite a few times in this book. But Moses now is 120 years old, older than anyone you or I have ever known, and older than most people have ever known. So he's an old man. We should listen to old man Moses, because he wrote the first books of the Bible, and because he was sent by God to deliver his people out of Egypt, and because through him, as a mediator, going up to intercede for his people, he went up to Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. And the people said, "Don't let God talk to us. We'll die. We've heard him speak. We've heard his voice. We don't want to keep hearing. It's going to kill us." And so Moses receives the Ten Commandments, and he gives the Ten Commandments to the people. And you remember, before he got down the mountain, before he could give them the Ten Commandments, what were our spiritual ancestors doing? They were worshiping a golden calf, because he had been gone so long to talk with God and maybe to intercede for them that they wondered if he would ever come back. So we should listen to Moses, because he has the words of God for us. If we're to appreciate the grace that comes through Jesus Christ and the salvation message that is spoken in the New Testament so much more clearly than the Old Testament, then we must know why we need to be saved. We must know what God requires. We must know that the law came through Moses, but it came from God through Moses. And the law is intended to tell us and teach us about God and to teach us our duty to God and to our fellow man. And so he says in verse 9, chapter 9 and verse 1, "Hear, O Israel." Moses is now 120 years old, and at the end of his life, he gathers all the people together, and for about 37 days, we're given some exact dates, 38 years after they came out of the wilderness, in the 11th month of that year, and God speaks to Moses, and he calls all the people together, about 600,000, maybe 1 or 2 million, including all the women and children. And the oldest of the men, besides Moses, is probably Joshua and Caleb, because they are the two spies that obeyed God when God told them through Moses to go up and take possession of the land that is Canaan, it's modern Israel. And they survived, but all the others who were fighting age 38 years ago, who had rebelled and refused to enter into the promised land, they were cursed. And they are now dead. All the fighting men, 20 years old and upward at that time, are now dead. So the oldest of the group that's with Moses is probably around 60. I'm 65, and I probably wouldn't have made it if I was one of those people who rebelled against God. I wouldn't have had the privilege to hear this last month of Moses' life when he gives these several sermons, and probably the people are standing up and listening for hours at a time as he gives these sermons. And he recalls what happened during these 38 years. And Deuteronomy is this recollection of all that's happened, and then this special admonition. Now hear, O Israel, I'm telling you again what has happened, because you're going to need to know what has happened. You're going to need to know, because he says in verse 1, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and possess nations greater and stronger than you. Here's another reason why we should listen to Moses today in the year 2020 AD. Because of what lies ahead of us. What lies ahead of us is what God's will is for us to be doing. And they had disobeyed God, but it's still his will for them to enter into that promised land. And it's God's will for all of us to enter into his promises and to accomplish his purposes for us. And that includes ultimately entering into the promised land, the eternal heavens that God has prepared. And for all who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus has gone ahead and he's gone to prepare a place for us that we may go and we may rest from our works with him. But we're going to need what Moses has said in order to fulfill God's will for our lives. And so we need to be reading God's word and memorizing it, meditating upon it, and depending upon it, because we have enemies that lie ahead of us. And what kind of enemies? He said at that time there were the Anakites. They were the tall people, and they lived in tall towns with walls that were tall. Who can stand before the Anakites was a common proverb, apparently. And it says, you will drive them out. They have walls that are up to the sky. Practically speaking, God's will for me and my wife has been to serve the Lord in Taiwan. And we take it as our theme, and it's on our literature, that God has called us to take possession of the west coast of Taiwan for Christ. And the purpose of our life is to see all things and all people and all the land and all of God's gifts to us to be brought under his lordship, both individually, every person, to the ends of the earth, every nation, and every thought brought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's our purpose. It should be similar to yours, except maybe the particular focus we have is upon the west coast of Taiwan, because that's where the majority of people live who have resisted the gospel or who have not really heard the gospel and been converted by it. They have spiritual walls, walls of different culture and different thinking, philosophies, and habits of life that make them blind to the gospel and deaf and sometimes self-satisfied, but often not really satisfied, but seeking satisfaction and relief from fear through the kinds of things that their ancestors passed down to them, such as ancestor worship and idol worship and all kinds of other things that we might call superstitious things. Of course, we have our own superstitions in America. Every people group does. But things that keep us from hearing the gospel or receiving it. Some habits or some traditions or some prejudices that keep us from turning our radio dial onto the gospel message or from coming to church where we can hear the gospel. And so we who are the people of God need to depend upon His word to take them to those who have spiritual bondage, who are surrounded by walls, maybe of their own need for self-defense, self-protection. And God says that, or through Moses, that it's the Lord God who's going to go before us. And we're not going to have to fight with physical weapons. And George MacKay was the first preacher to the northern part of Taiwan with the gospel. 1872, wasn't that terribly long ago. And in his short lifetime, before he was 58 years old, he had established 60 churches in Taiwan. And we've counted the cities that remain to be taken, to be evangelized along the west coast of Taiwan, and there's 60 cities, the 60 largest of the group of cities. And so this becomes the outline of the area that we want to take possession for Jesus Christ. The word dispossess is here too. Dispossess means it's under another's possession. They're under the enemy's hand, authority. And they have to be delivered from allegiance to the enemy and then be brought in to the friendship and the welcome of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we who are His enemies can become His friends and reconciled to Him. So praise the Lord. What a wonderful privilege we have, that our goal in life is not just to make sure that we have a home and a job and an income and our kids be educated. But God has a calling for us to go in and take possession. And whatever that means for you, God's speaking today. You need to listen to His word to prepare you to go in, lest you become like the Anakites, lest they come in and take over your family. And you start to, before you know it, begin to look at other things and give attention to other things more than the Word of God, and become more susceptible to other explanations for the problems that we have and solutions that the world offers. And so He says that He will go before you as a devouring fire. And after God gives us the land, or we enter into the promised land, we're not to say that it's because of any good thing we've done. It's not because I learned to speak Taiwanese or Mandarin, and that's why we're able to preach the gospel. We're not to look at anything that we've done, but rather God is concerned for what is possessing the hearts of people outside of Christ. He's concerned. He has a plan for them before we did. They're at enmity with Him. He's giving them time to repent. And we don't know how much time, so we need to go in quickly and take possession. And three times He says, it's not because of your righteousness or your integrity, but because of their wickedness. And then He says, because your own heart is stiff-necked. It's because God saved me from my stiff-neckedness. Therefore, He's given us the privilege of going in to take possession. And then He says in verse 7, remember this, and don't forget how you provoked the Lord your God to anger in the desert. From the day you left Egypt until you arrived here, you have been rebellious against the Lord. And I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, and I stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. Why should we listen to Moses? Moses was a man of God who loved people, and he interceded for his people. And the only way we can really take possession is by prayer and proclamation of the Word of God. And we have prayer tours every month. We go through one or two of these cities, these 60 villages along the west coast of Taiwan. And we stop in certain areas, and someone gives a testimony with a loudspeaker, and we have a music band. And sometimes we do open air preaching, sometimes just a few minutes, sometimes longer. Sometimes we'll go through the city during the day, and then at nighttime have an evangelistic service. And the Lord is working. We came to a place called Shizhou in Zhanghua County. Have you ever heard of Shizhou? Shizhou in Zhanghua County. There was one church there when we first became burdened for the area. And we went to that church, and we said, there's a part of this city that there's no church. And we asked the Presbyterian church there what they were doing in that area, and they said, "Well, we have everything we can do to keep us busy. We really can't reach out to that area," and they welcomed us to go to that area. Well, we went to this area called Da Zhuang, and they have a temple there called the Kai Tin Gong, which means the gate, the open gate to heaven. The gate where heaven is open. That's the name of the temple, the idol temple. And we began to do community service there, give out free haircuts and shoulder massages, and the old people would come in the shade there, and they would line up to receive a blessing. We had five or six people. Once a month we would go there, and we would share the gospel. And we still don't have a church there, but the Lord's working. There's a new pastor in the Presbyterian church, and he's one of our team members now who wants to reach that area for Christ. So we're proclaiming the gospel. We're taking possession, but it takes time. We had a guy in his, I guess in his 30s, who is blind. Blind, he spends every day there. And the very first time I came there, I shared the gospel and asked him if he wanted to believe. And he said, yeah. But he still doesn't have a church to go to there. And lives in a home that people take care of him. But we want to see the Lord work and reach the whole community for Christ. Well, that's what our burden is. We're going to show a video here in a little bit. And then my wife's going to come and teach us a song. Remind us of the message today, why we should listen to Moses. I think there's at least 100 reasons, and I've given a few of them today. Maybe you can continue by studying and answering the question why we should listen to Moses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that people have shared the gospel with us. And we thank you for the Bible being translated into our language and into many of the languages of the world, most of them. And that the Bible is free to most people. We thank you, Lord, that Moses speaks today. We pray that you would help us to hear him. And through him, to be ready to appreciate the gospel that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. And so the word is one word, and the Lord is one Lord. And we shall love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, and with all of our souls, with all of our strength. We should hear. Oh Lord, help us to hear and obey. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just a minute. Ruth's going to come and teach us a song, and then we'll do the video.
Brothers and sisters, peace. Yandi Qingwei Bing An. In this last term, we've served basically in two different towns, one in Dalin, where we live, which is in Jiayi County in Taiwan, and another Tianwei, which is Zhanghua County. And we've had the privilege of seeing God dispossess some people, some souls, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you for the part that you've had in sending us and in praying for us and for them. And I want to tell you Xiaohua's story. Xiaohua is about our age. She's about 60. And when we saw Xiaohua in a nursing home, the Dalin Good Neighbor was there ministering, and we often take our short-term teams there. And the old people in the nursing homes are amazingly open and ready. And it shouldn't be too amazing, because they know that their days are numbered, more than many of us realize. And so praise God, that day Xiaohua saw us, and she heard the gospel, and she saw the love of Christ. And she thought to herself, this is my hope. And she thought, I'm going to leave this place. She was ready to leave that nursing home. And it wasn't long before we heard that Xiaohua was homeless and living in a neighborhood behind our home, Gobe. And so we and the church went over, and we helped her get situated in a new home. And but it was a matter of days as she was sleeping in a friend's front porch. And so anyway, we just thank the Lord for Xiaohua. And she came to faith in Christ. It was amazing how God worked in her life. She had had a stroke. That was why she was in the nursing home to begin with. And her son had had a motorcycle accident. And he had had some brain damage. But he actually saw a vision of Christ. And he told his mom about it, and he said, Mom, you have to go to church, and you have to trust Christ. So isn't God amazing? God is so good. So we look forward to going back mid-August, Lord willing, and because we have resident certificates, we can go back. We'll just have to quarantine for a couple of weeks. And we look forward to doing more door-to-door in Gobe, Xiaohua's town, and let her introduce us to her friends and neighbors. And we just trust God that he will allow us the pleasure of seeing many more souls dispossessed from the evil one and gloriously transferred into God's kingdom of light. So I want to share with you a song that we like to sing in the home meetings there in Taiwanese-speaking rural Taiwan, and it what it means is Jesus loves me to the end, and though I am weak, he will protect me. Jesus loves me to the end, and I want to sing it. Jesus loves you in Taiwanese, loves you to the end, dear brothers and sisters, because he loves you so very much. And he is taking care of you, and we do not need to be afraid. God bless you, each one.
Ya so tia li tia da di, ya so tia li tia da di, ni li sui luan jo tu he bo shu, ya so tia li tia da di. Ya so tia li tia da di, ya so tia li tia da di, li sui luan jok tu he bo shu, ya so tia li tia da di.
Jesus loves you, and he loves you to the end.
Now we will see a video introducing our work in Taiwan. And if you'll take notice of the QR code at the very end, you can use that and get into our website, TaiwanHarvest119.com. Follow us. Let us know that you're praying for us. God bless you.
I am Mark.
And I'm Ruth. I'm from Maryland, Baltimore. And
I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. The Lord called me into missions, I believe, when I was 11 years old. In 1979, met my wife at the Summer Institute of Linguistics. She was headed one direction and I was headed another, and the Lord brought our two directions together.
And through the years, we had five children. And so now we have five grandchildren.
And we have been serving the Lord for now about 34 years here in Taiwan.
So now we serve with Taiwan Harvest 119, in Chinese also known as Taiwan Fengshou Yijiu.
Looking over the map, we saw the west coast, and Ruth notices that most of these cities had the least number of churches. They were either on Route 1 or Route 19. Well, that's 1 and 19. That's 119. And immediately I said, that's the emergency number. And it just seemed like it hit us that God wanted us to reach these cities, and we counted them, 60 cities on these two roads, 60 major cities, I mean villages of average of 50,000 people or more. We developed a network with pastors so that Taiwan Harvest 119 was a national organization, not from overseas. We hope to have the partnership of all evangelical groups, including other mission organizations, for the purpose of reaching these areas for Christ.
We still have a goal of having 20 lighthouse teams, each lighthouse team of at least six people or three families in closely connected towns, reaching out to three different towns. So that would make 60 towns.
Yes, we hope there'll be churches planted in all these areas. But more realistically, to see Christian fellowships, lighthouses or gospel fellowships in every neighborhood of these areas.
We want them to be multiplying family cell groups.
So that the church might not look like a traditional church with a building, but where the gospel is preached and discipleship takes place.
Our desire is to offer training, to offer gospel models, and to network with resource churches, both in Taiwan and abroad. And so we want to see churches in each of the 60 towns multiplying to the fourth generation. We want to see 10% saved.
We feel our role is primarily as mobilizers, as encouragers, and as evangelists.
What I wish I'd known when we first got started was that Bible Stories is not just for children, and it's a wonderful way to share the gospel and to introduce people to God from creation to Christ. You don't have to draw people into the church building. It's okay to go to their homes and to have a Christian fellowship in their homes. We really believe that the Spirit is at work and that people are more responsive than they used to be.
We have people now coming to our home and asking for prayer. There's a lot of opportunities. The doors are open if we had more time and more workers.
We would like to see the Lord raise up support for our prayer and communication officer from Taiwan.
We want to see a national leader for Taiwan Harvest 119 as a whole.
We discovered we're not as young as we used to be. We don't handle stress as well as we used to. And so...
Or the heat. The summers are hot and long.
Yeah, we appreciate prayer.
I am Mark.
And I'm Ruth.
And we are here to sow the seeds
of the gospel to reach the west coast of Taiwan.
For Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. want to thank our brother and sister in Christ for sharing Mark and Ruth. Thank you so much for making Christ's last commandment your first concern. You touched our hearts, you've inspired us, you've encouraged us, and it reminded me of the scripture in Matthew where it says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Around us we see birth pangs, wars, famines, all kinds of things happening. That's not the end. It may be a birth pang, and we don't know which one it is, but it's not the last sign. The last sign will be this sign. When the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, then that's the beginning of the end. It's an honor and a privilege to be part of this, whether we're here or over there. But let me just say this before our brother comes and gives the benediction and prays for us, and our time will be over. Has God spoken to you? Seriously. Maybe one of you, many of you, while our brother was sharing this morning, had a burning bush experience. Really, God still speaks as he did with Moses. He still speaks today through his word, through his messengers, through one another. So how has God spoken to you? How can you be a better part of bringing back the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We're all called to pray. We're all called to give. And we're all called to go. In your going, wherever God is sending you, preach the gospel. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them all that God has commanded us to do. And it's all here in the Word. And he says, lo, I am with you to the ends of the earth. So maybe God is tugging on your heart this morning to join our brother. To say, yeah, here I am, Lord, send me. And I want to go and be part of this church plant in Taiwan. Maybe he's asking you to pray more. Maybe he's asking you to give more to this ministry. And there are many other ministries. Just ask the Lord, will you do that? And I give you a homework assignment like I always do. Today's homework assignment is this. Before you go to bed today, just say, Lord, what is my part? Should I be part of this? Is there something else you want me to do? Lord, here I am. Send me. Can we do that? And I'll do the same.